compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford here in the Mike Pettine Studios. We've got some accoutrement now. We got a Browns helmet in front of us here. Coach, I got to talk about this Baltimore Ravens game. Obviously, as you talked about, a disappointing finish to that game. But what did you take out of that game that you can hope to build on going into Cincinnati?
The resilience of our group. I mean, this was a game where things didn't go well early, and we bounced back and a bunch of lead changes and fell behind. And there were times where our guys could have quit, especially after Josh McCown gets hurt, a guy that's been a leader for us, very inspirational on and off the field. And there was a chance for the air just to be let out with the team when that happened. And the guys rallied around Austin, and we ended up coming back and tying it up.
What has Josh McCown meant to this team? And I know he's just been placed on injured reserve, but what did you see from him? Because to me it seemed like the toughest, most kind of impressive, gave everything he had to this team over his time here.
It's hard to put that into words. There's a value there when it's your quarterback and he's just one of your best guys and your toughest and embodies everything that's right about that position, whether it's from his preparation, how he is on a practice field, how he interacts with teammates in the locker room, and then that carries over to the field. Then he performed at a high level for us, and that makes this a bitter pill that he's played at a high level, and we're losing that play on the field.
Austin Davis came in, played well, 7 of 10, 77 yards, and a touchdown. You've named him your starting quarterback for this mm-hmm. week. Was that a tough decision, and is that more reflective of still a punishment on Johnny, or just that you were so impressed with Austin?
No, I think it's more about Austin than necessarily about Johnny. I don't want to get into he's being punished and how long is that going to last. Austin came into the game as the two. His number was called. He came out. He played well. And we all know these are both young quarterbacks that we need to see play as we look for answers at that position. We all know the circumstances with Josh and where he is in his career. And then now we have two young guys in the room that both have an NFL skill set that we need to see where they are and how that bodes for the future.
Is this a decision that Austin will start the rest of the season, or are you taking a more week-to-week approach?
No, we'll definitely I talked to the quarterbacks today about it. It's tough to kind of think in the week-to-week mode, but just what our circumstances are, we have to be that way. So this decision was made for Cincinnati week, and come Sunday night, Monday morning, we'll hit the pause button again and reevaluate it.
For those who only got that brief glimpse of Austin Davis, you've gotten to see him in practice, obviously, all year long. What does he bring to the team?
Well, he is relentless in his preparation. I mean, I've walked by the quarterback room at some very odd hours to find him in there grinding on tape and takes very detailed notes on opposing defensive coordinators and game plan and how that applies. And it's easy to say to somebody, hey, prepare like a starter. I mean, he embodies that. And I think it showed the other night. From a physical standpoint, he's a good athlete. I think he's got a quick release. And I think he's got a stronger arm than most people give him credit for. If you just look at the two throws to Travis, the one corner route that he hit right in front of our bench, and then the follow-up throw for the touchdown, I thought was a rope down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Both impressive throws, and that's he's shown that in practice, and it carried over for him.
Gary Barnidge has been one of the best stories on this team on the field, off the field, also very involved. Just got the nomination for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for the Browns. What can you say about Gary?
Another, that's hard to put into words. I mean, you talk about play like a Brown, act like a Brown. He embodies everything that you would want in a player on and off the field. Another guy that's outstanding in his preparation. He just doesn't get through practice and then hope he can raise his level in the game. I mean, he works hard in practice.
So you've coached now against Cincinnati Bengals. Will be your fourth game against them. You've had three short weeks in your coaching career, all of them against the Cincinnati Bengals. When you go coming off the Monday night game, you had a short week the first time around. Is it easier the second time around to have this short week since it is a division opponent?
It is easier. Any time that you've game planned for somebody, especially the specialty situations, whether it's red zone, goal line, short yardage, most teams don't change a lot throughout the year. They might change some first and second down stuff or some different groupings, and their third downs will stay pretty similar conceptually in all phases. So you feel like you at least have the shell built for the game plan, and then you look at your game plan sheet. What did I call? What did I not call? So what can I carry over that still applies? And usually it's a good amount. And then you look at the game itself. What do we need to take out? What did we do well that we maybe can continue to do? What might have to dress it up a little bit? So it's a second time around, you have a generous head start.
Tyler Eifert obviously was a problem the first time around, and I noticed the Ravens played some what I would call the NFL equivalent of a box and one against Gary Barnage in the red zone. Is focusing on Tyler Eifert in the red zone where he leads the NFL in touchdowns going to be a big point of emphasis?
It is, but I think that's the strength of their offense is their depth and the number of weapons that they have. I think if you try to take you overdo it trying to take one away, you look at the skill set of the other guys that they have out there. Whether it's at running back, the wideout group to me is one of the deepest, one of the best in the league. So I think you have to be smart in how you do it. You got to present different looks and make him think he should go somewhere with the ball when actually you're cheating coverage that way. I think disguise is important because when you have so many options to go to, if one of them is glaring a weak point of the defense, that's where the ball is going to go. I think that's one of the reasons that Andy Dalton's having the year that he's had.
Sure.
That he does a good job of recognizing coverage. He knows where to go with the ball.
Recently, outside of the Arizona game, the Cincinnati Bengals defense has been absolutely locked down. Can you pull anything from what the Cardinals were able to do, given that you played against them, to try to game plan for Cincinnati, or is that just so Carson Palmer personnel dependent?
No, there's some things. There's some things conceptually that are there. You don't want to totally change your offense. And, I mean, the Cardinals have a different group of skill players than we do, and we're going to highlight what we do well. But any time a team has success, and this is in any phase of the game, as coaches, you're always going to go back and look who's done well, whether it's defensively, offensively. And then you watch it and say, okay, was this just a talent thing, or were they just overwhelmed them, or are there some good things in there schematically? And that's on coaches. That's a challenge each week for us to pull that stuff out and decipher it.
All right, Coach, thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to go into the PNC Bank film breakdown, looking at Carlos Dansby's second pick six of the year. We'll also have the popular hashtag AskPet right after this on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Al.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, of course, joined by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. And now it's time for the PNC Bank film breakdown. And we caught up with Carlos Dansby earlier this week to talk about his pick six against the Ravens.
I'm here with Carlos Dansby, who had his second pick six of the 2015 season in an unfortunate loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Carlos, walk us through that pick six, because was it something that you had saw on film throughout the week, or was it something that you picked up during the game that they were running those deep in-breaking routes?
It was something we picked up during the game. Coach, I came to the sideline. Coach told me, like, look, that tight end hangs, and he chips the D-end. They run the deeper routes, and it was a third and long play, so I was like, okay. I seen the tight end hanging, and I'm like, oh, he's finna run a dig. And I'm like, I just took off. I seen the route developing. The number two receiver kept pushing through. Once he pushed through, I knew he was clearing it out for the number one guy to come in. And quarterback didn't have nowhere else to go, either that or get sacked.
And walk us through, because most likely a young linebacker in a landmark defense like a zone blitz or a cover three, you know, they get to their landmark and they stand
there
like a statue.
Right.
But you know, in double-digit years in the NFL, walk us through the progression for you to not only get to your spot, but to have the savvy as a vet to evolve your route to get to the spot where he almost looked like he threw you the football.
Yeah, it was funny, man. I was hearing some of the conversations, and it was funny how they was like, man, he just threw the ball right to him. No, I had to really decipher the play. As soon as the tight end blocked, I knew exactly what they wanted to do, and I just took off to the spot where he had to throw it to. I was like, man, it's going to be about 18 yards. I was like, all right, cool, I can get there. And once I got there, he just let the ball go, and that was the perfect time.
Another AFC battle coming. You have the Cincinnati Bengals, a team, you know, that you went up there on a Thursday night on a short week prepared and didn't go the way you wanted. But coming home to First Energy, they're a team that's playing for a lot. But as you mentioned, guys are playing for their jobs, so it should be another AFC North battle.
Oh, yeah, it's going to definitely be a battle. I think we paused and ready for this opportunity. And like I said, we got a chance to really go out and right that wrong that we left out on the field Monday night. And like I said, it's going to be a battle, and we know that, and we know they're going to come in trying to prove a point. And like I said, it's going to be another AFC slobbering up.
Carlos, thank you so much for joining me, and look forward to your performance on Sunday.
All right, thanks, man.
Coach, when you see Carlos Dansby still at this age, two pick sixes on the season, one from Peyton Manning, one from Matt Schaub, what does he mean to this team and this defense?
No, that's just indicative of his, of his play. He's been outstanding in pass coverage for us, and that's just another example. When he caught it, I didn't know if he was going to have the wheels to score. I told him that afterwards. And the funny thing was, if you see the replay, that Tremont had undercut the ball as well, and had a great chance to intercept it. And his reaction once he saw Lowe's taking off down the sideline, he started jumping up and down, and he was bummed that he knew that was his ball as well. So no, that was a heck of a play by him, and nice job reading off the eyes of the quarterback. And it's just indicative of how he's been for us.
Tremont got his later in the game, obviously, and promptly tossed the ball to Steve Young, who then tossed it right back to Tremont Williams as he went back to the sideline there. This defense, what did you see last week against Baltimore that was encouraging to you, and what do you need to do to get really where you want this defense to be?
Well, again, it was an inconsistent performance. I mean, we could make a cut-up of plays where we were dominant and guys were all doing their jobs and making plays. And then there were other plays where we had some breakdowns. We gave up a long run where our two guys inside both ended up getting a minus, and, of course, that's where the ball ended up going. So, we got some young guys out there that are, it's kind of on-the-job training. But it's we're looking for a consistent level of play. And then hopeful at some point that we can get all of our guys back and go out there with the full complement.
All right, let's get into the popular hashtag AskPet. The first one is, how much do you consult members of your team who have played for that week's opponent when putting together a game plan?
Well, that depends on the player. It also depends on the position. A lot of positions will kind of know, what their job was. They might not be able to open it up and sure, see the big picture. So a lot of it depends on that player's essentially football acumen. Now, if you get a guy that's a center that understand, an offensive lineman that has intimate details about pass protection and the calls and run those types of things, and then a quarterback that's played in that system would certainly be helpful as well. So you can be at any end of the spectrum on that, where you can get pages and pages of notes and get a lot of stuff that really helps you. And then the flip side is not much. So it's usually somewhere in between.
All right. Question number two is, immediately following a game, is there any time to decompress, or is it immediately on to preparing for the next opponent?
Well, we all take, whether it's just, the typical one would be Sunday night. So as coaches, we all take that time to decompress. I think you have to. I don't think you can just run right into the next one. Now, circumstances are you're on a short week. If you are, usually you've had some time before to prepare for that. So you still always want to be able to get that time to hit the reset button, introduce yourself to your family.
Talk for a second about the grading of the film. Do you hand out your own grades? Is it done by position coaches? How many times does a play have to be watched to be graded, et cetera? What's kind of the process there?
Every staff does it different. I know there's a lot of staffs where the position coaches will come in, grade it on their own first, and then go ahead and watch it again a second time with the coordinator. Coordinator will comment on the grades or want to know, hey, listen, make sure he got a plus, or hey, did you give him a minus there? Here's why. I'll go through the tape as well. I don't grade every player. There's just not enough time to do that.
Right.
But I'll make comments for the coordinators, and if a player stands out one way or the other, I'll make sure that comment gets on the grade sheet as well. But we make sure that the players get a copy of those and that they can sit and follow along when you watch it as a group. And we always stress to them, you're responsible for all the coaching points made at your position. So if I'm a safety, I don't just look at my comments. I make sure that, hey, if I'm Gip, I know how Witt was being coached, or Poyer, that I think that helps you. You can't just have horse blinders on and only worry about your own grade. So we feel it's a very thorough process, very comprehensive, that we get everything covered. And I think we come out of it a better football team.
So let's say that a player plays 40 plays in a game. What is the acceptable number of minuses out of 40?
Well, we don't have a kind of a universal grading system. I think some coaches grade a lot harder, and some coaches will break theirs down. They'll give a technique grade.
Mental.
They'll give an effort grade. Hey, did he get a mental on it? So there's a lot of subtleties within, but it's our coaches are hard on the players, as they should be, that they don't give out great grades just very easily. So it's a challenge to our guys, and they know we have high standards. They got to live up to them.
My dad was an educator. He appreciates the red pen every now and then. Coach, thank you so much, and good luck against the Bengals.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we'll be talking with Browns rookie defensive tackle Danny Shelton on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Libby Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for our player interview. I'm very happy to be joined by the Browns' first-round pick, defensive tackle Danny Shelton. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so last week was your first time with a second go-around against somebody with the Baltimore Ravens. Was it easier the second time around? Was it tougher? Did it seem any different from the first time, matching up with somebody that you'd gone against once before?
It definitely felt a little more competitive. I mean, just as far as for the Browns, I mean, being at our home stadium, it felt like we had to do even more, than the last time we faced them.
What was it like, your first Monday Night Football game?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it didn't go the way I wanted it to.
Sure.
But, I definitely had a good time. I had some ups and some downs throughout the whole game.
How do you feel that you've kind of progressed here in your rookie season? And since the first time you played Baltimore was earlier in the year, did you notice a difference in your play against them, something that, I saw this the first time around that you kind of were able to adjust to?
I mean, we expected them to do the same thing. I mean, come out, try to run the ball, throw in a couple trick plays. We're ready for them. I mean, I didn't have anything, going into the game that, I was, afraid of. I mean, as far as, like, them throwing in a new play, I felt confident.
So you would play in the Pac-12. You guys would play 80, sometimes 90 plays a game with those offenses. Does it seem like in the NFL playing 60, how would 60 NFL plays compare to, say, 90 Pac-12 plays?
Be a lot more physical. I mean,
okay,
you gotta take care of your body. That's going to be the first priority.
What has been what you would consider to be your biggest success so far in your rookie season?
Honestly, just being able to fit in. I mean, being able to play with these veteran-type guys. Do my job, take on the role of, being that run stuffer. I feel like, I need more work at it, but, I feel like for my first year, I got the hang of it.
In college, were you on the block team as opposed to the, protection team and
teams? I played both ways.
Both ways.
Dominated both. I had a couple blocks, and then on field goal, nobody's ever blocked it on me until now. So, it's something you just got to learn. You got to continue to grow with. If you were to say that we're gonna have this type of season in the beginning of the season, I'm a guy who's just gonna put on my hard hat, pull up my pants, tighten my belt, and get to work. I'm not gonna stray from trying to get out and bring success to this team. I'm still confident that there's going to be a change coming to this team.
We all certainly hope so, and we wish you the best luck against Cincinnati and for the rest of the season, Danny.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, Browns rookie Danny Shelton, our guest here on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. When we come back, I'll give you my final thoughts as the Browns get ready to take on the Bengals this Sunday at First Energy Stadium.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. This Sunday, we've got you covered, as we always do, with all sorts of Browns programming on News Channel 5. First at 11 a.m., we're going to go inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes. And then it's Browns Countdown at 11:30 a.m., leading up to kickoff against the Bengals. As always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns, on air and online, with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, the Cleveland Browns, United Healthcare, and University Hospitals are working together to improve the health and safety of young athletes through the Helmets program. Nominate your favorite Northeast Ohio high school for a chance to win new helmets. You can enter each week during the Browns season on ClevelandBrowns.com to increase the chances that your school will win new helmets for the 2016 season. And also, congrats to our buddy, Big Play Gary Barnage, on being named the Browns' Walter Payton Man of the Year. So this Sunday at First Energy Stadium, it will be the 2-9 Browns against the 9-2 Bengals, a team that certainly wants to solidify one of the top two spots in the AFC and will look to do so and continue their winning ways over the Browns. They've beaten the Browns by more than 14 points in each of the last two meetings. The Browns are going to have to find a way to slow down Tyler Eifert. He suffered a stinger last week, but should be able to play on Sunday. Eifert burned them for 3 touchdowns in the first meeting. And, of course, the run defense needs to improve and slow down the dynamic duo of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. For the Browns, you'd like to get some semblance of a running game going, but really, it's going to come down to Austin Davis probably being able to match points with the Cincinnati Bengals against what is a very, very good Bengals defense. Davis came in and looked impressive, 7 of 10 for 77 yards and a touchdown in relief of Josh McCown against the Ravens, but this will be a much, much tougher test against a formidable opponent. Can Davis do enough? That will be the big question as he gets the opportunity to start for the first time as a member of the Cleveland Browns, now the team's 24th starting quarterback since 1999. That's going to be the matchup. Dalton and Davis, about a couple of ADs at First Energy Stadium this Sunday. Hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight, and everybody have a great night in Cleveland. We'll be back again next week, same time, Thursday at 7:30 here on News Channel 5 as the Browns get ready for their third consecutive home game against the San Francisco 49ers. Have a great night, everybody.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.